All right, it's good to see everyone this evening. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalm 3, please. Psalm 3. Continue our series in the book of Psalms on Wednesday evenings. Psalm 3 and verse 1. See, in Psalm 1, we talked about two ways. In Psalm 2, we talked about four voices. And now here we are in Psalm 3, where we have many difficulties. Psalm 3 in verse 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Now, I read the psalm, but you probably notice in your Bible that Psalm 3 has a title over it, and that title reads, A Psalm of David When He Fled from Absalom, His Son. And so that connects Psalm 3 to the history that we see unfold in 2 Samuel 15 through about 2 Samuel 20, the story of David's son Absalom and his rebellion. Now, scholars often maintain that these titles that are put over the psalms were put there by editors who later collated each collection. We have the Psalms in their present form right now, 150, but they came to us, of course, through the process of time. And so eventually it was decided, as far as Old Testament canon is concerned, which Psalms were included. And we have these, of course, in our current Bibles. Some English translations of the Bible omit these titles altogether, but they are a part of the Hebrew text. And so because they are a part of the Hebrew text, then I think we ought to take them very seriously. I don't think we should take them lightly. And so since they are a part of the Hebrew text, they also shine a bit of light on how to interpret the Psalms. And I think that that's important too. For example, there are many parallels with this psalm and the historic text that we see in 2 Samuel. So we can say that this psalm was probably written when David was in the thick of that trial when his son Absalom had rebelled against him. Even the Hebrew verbiage in the first part of the psalm tends to reinforce that idea. This psalm was written so that David could face the challenge that he was going through. This is a part of his expression to God, his prayer to God, but it is also something that provides confidence for us when we face many difficulties in life. You say, well, David's difficulty is pretty extreme here. This is his son rebelling against him, taking his throne, forcing him out of Jerusalem. I mean, that is a massive trial. Well, if David was able to garner strength and comfort through God directing him how to pray and even inspiring his word, then certainly we can learn great lessons as well. And so it's along that line that I come to this psalm this evening. There are four reinforcements in this psalm, four reinforcements that help us as far as prayer is concerned when we face many difficulties in life. The first is here in verses 1 and 2, and it teaches us that we need to maintain hope in the midst of difficulties by resting in God's presence. By resting in God's presence. Lord, how they have increased, he says. There are many who rise up. There are many who say of me. And so in three different ways, three different sentences, David drains any kind of human hope from the situation. This is the situation that he's in. It's not a good situation. God has left you, David. You are all alone. And really, the context drives this point home and reinforces it if we take it to be the historic context that we find in 2 Samuel. Because 2 Samuel 15 through 20 come after 2 Samuel 11. Did you know that? You say, well, why is that significant? Well, because that's when David sins, right? In 2 Samuel 11, we have the time where David sins by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then murder to cover up that adultery. And I think that that's significant when we look at the broader context of this psalm, because many of the difficulties that we face in life are difficulties that we face because of our own sin. And that's surely what David's facing here. He's facing the consequences of his own sin. And so he's struggling with that. But even though his difficulties put him in this miserable morass, conjured up by his own sin, he was still confident enough to go to God with those difficulties. And that's what's important here. You might think, well, David's been forsaken. Just like Shimei says, he brought blood upon the house of Saul, and he's a bloody man, and that bloody man deserves what he gets. And so, you know, David's mighty men, let me go take that guy's head off. David, no. Okay, God will fight for me, and everything that he's saying is really true. I mean, there's this idea of God will be my defender. He will fight for me, and I know that he will not forsake me. You say, but he's really struggling. Yes, he is, but he maintains hope in knowing that God is ever present. Even though he's receiving this just punishment for his sin, he understands what the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 13:5 when he said, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's important. If we're going to maintain hope, in the many difficulties that we face in life, we have to rest upon the presence of God. That's number one tonight. Number two, we maintain hope in the midst of difficulties by resting in God's power. That's number two. God's presence, number one. Number two, it's God's power. But you, O Lord, are a shield. You're my glory, and you're the lifter of my head. Now, those three figures are very important. He's going to cry to the Lord, and he's going to cry to the Lord, and the Lord is going to hear him from his holy hill. That's the place of God's power. And God comes from his throne, and he rules with sovereignty and with great control and with great power, right? And so that's what David is calling upon right now. David shifts his focus in the psalm from those many that are against him, verses 1 and 2, to the power of God upon his throne in verses 3 and 4. And that focus is very important, because if you focus upon the many difficulties that are out there in life, then those difficulties are going to become huge and God is going to become small. And so it's important for us that we realize who God is. Well, who is he? Well, he takes those mountainous problems and he levels them. That's the God we serve. And when we're in the fray and when we're struggling, even if it is a result of our own sin, God is a shield, it says, for us. But the preposition there would be better communicated in the Hebrew. He is a shield around about us. He is a shield that encompasses us, that he provides us protection is evident. He is always there guarding us. He is our shield. And as your glory, notice that He says that you are his glory, right? And so as his glory, then, nothing rests upon what you have done in the past. Nothing rests upon what you will do in the present. Everything rests upon him. He is your glory. And so that is very, very important as we look into this psalm. And when you hang your head in shame and you're dejected and you're feeling the isolation that all of us feel because of sin, because of difficulty, God lifts up the head and restores former confidence in our lives. As one man put it, anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. And anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. God can do these things. God is powerful. God is able. So what do we learn from verses 3 and 4? We learn that we shouldn't fixate on the problems of life. We should look at the power of God. the one who is our shield, our glory, and the lifter up of our heads. We are anemic. There's no doubt about that. We are weak. But God can and will answer our prayer. So, number one, God is the one who will bring his presence to the face of our many difficulties. God is the one who will bring his power to bear upon our lives when we face those difficulties. And number three, we can maintain hope in the midst of difficulties, many difficulties, by resting in God's peace. Resting in God's peace. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Now, you cannot sleep. And notice what it says. David has already slept. That's why this is called the morning psalm. And Psalm 4 is called the evening psalm. He says, I lay down last night and I slept. And I got up this morning and the Lord sustained me. And you know what? I'm looking at another day fleeing from my son who rebelled against me. And I know that the Lord will continue to sustain me, that the Lord will continue to deliver me. I trust in him. I have peace knowing that's true. You can't sleep. You can't function in life when your mind succumbs to the many difficulties that you face. All of that peace and that stability flee because you're allowing everything else to crowd God out in your life. So Jesus says, don't be anxious for anything. All right? Don't worry about all these things that could take place and go off into the tomorrows and struggle and struggle and struggle. I've given you grace for today to take the next right step. That's the idea. So David, he slept. Evening passed. The morning broke. And God sustained him through the night and also through another day. And he gave David incomprehensible peace. A peace that passes all understanding because David kept his mind on God. Those who maintain an eternal perspective will have confidence in God. If you're looking at the here and now, if you're just looking at your lifespan, then you will quickly lose any semblance of peace or eternal security. God built us to look off toward him and toward eternity. That's the way we should maintain our lives. And by the way, if we live our lives that way, then we will be of earthly good. So we need the peace of God. Cast your care upon the one who cares for you. So maintain hope in the midst of difficulties by resting in God's presence, in God's power, in God's peace. And number four, maintain hope in the midst of the many difficulties by resting in God's provision. In God's provision. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing is upon your people. I think this is the crux of the prayer, because prayer is asking, right? That's a book. It's a good book. But prayer is asking. That is what we should be doing when we pray. And we should be asking for very specific things because God teaches us to do this. David asked God to do something. What did he ask God to do? He said, God, arise. He said, God, save. And then as he was praying, he saw these things as already being accomplished. And so he saw the cheekbones being struck. He saw the teeth being broken. He saw all of these things, but all of these are verbs in which God is the subject. And so we ask God to do something on our behalf. And we believe that God will do something on our behalf. Prayer is not just you being aligned with the will of God. You cannot limit prayer by that definition. Some extreme people do that, but prayer changes things. God will change things as we pray. I believe that. And so that's what David did. He prayed and God heard and answered his prayer. And so as I look at this, Salvation and blessing really are the provisions, right? This is what God gave to him. Struck cheekbones. What is that talking about? Well, here are these enemies. Can you imagine how they were that looked at David? And their, Shimei is a good example, but how they looked at him, you know, in a way like, who are you? You very impudent in their rebellion. Here's God's anointed, and now they're looking at him with the eyes of a rebel, and God has smashed their cheekbone. In other words, they can't look that way anymore. God is saying to David, look, I've taken care of these people. And they can't spit out their mockery anymore because they're spitting out their teeth. Their mouth isn't filled with mockery. It's filled with their own teeth. You see the imagery there? I mean, it's very, very strong. This is God providing for David. Salvation. Not salvation in the theological loaded way that we think about it in the New Testament. But we're talking about salvation in deliverance from David's difficulty. And we need salvation. We need deliverance from the difficulties that we face in life. And God will bring blessing and victory into our lives just like he brought victory and blessing into David's life. He provides infinitely more than we deserve in life. We have to believe that. God provides things that we don't deserve from his inexhaustible resources. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything not accessible to God? God provides everything that we need in life, and he has everything that we need. We just need to ask for it. God answers prayer, and he promises ultimate victory. So as we pray over our list this evening, let us remember to maintain hope in the midst of the many difficulties that we face in our lives by making sure we rest in the presence, the power, the peace, and the provision of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give to us. Thank you for the hope that fills our hearts as we wrestle with difficulties in life and face trials and bring all of these to you as a burden and see you relieve us from those things and provide a way of escape. Lord, help us as we pray. Help us to believe what you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.